Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Dr. Bo Bruce.
I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and is not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. I think many of us would agree that the last year or so has been very divisive. I'm also confident that there are many who are worried that the future may even be more so. We seem to be at the brink of violence at any moment, whether from a random attack of terrorism, a riot breaking out within a peaceful protest, the misapplication of force by those tasked with protecting us, or even a war breaking out between nation states. Some of this seems to be exacerbated by our very refusal to even engage in a meaningful civil discussion. Instead, many of us, including our leaders, take to the interwebs and bemoan, bully, or even blast our fellow humans in a tweet of a few hundred characters. What could be more taken out of context than no hope of having any context at all? We don't discuss. Instead, we take offense, we march, we protest. Injustice is everywhere. Apparently, you just need to look hard enough. Perhaps you hear no hint of offensiveness in what Jesus said in our gospel today. But these words are as divisive today as they were 2 millennia ago. If you read the context around this story in St. John's gospel, you will see Jesus declare himself by his actions to be the Messiah, by healing the man born blind. Recall what an uproar that caused. Even his parents did not want to admit that they had given birth to their son who was healed for fear of the Jewish authorities. No wonder, since this is the exchange they had with the man healed, the Jewish authorities that is, when they drug him in before themselves the second time. I have told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? And they reviled him saying, "You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And they answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." It was these last words that some of the Pharisees near him heard that led Jesus directly into our gospel passage today about the Good Shepherd. But Jesus didn't stop where we did. So starting again from verse 14, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." And he continues, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." So now Jesus has really gone and done it. He just said he was God because he has the authority to lay down and take up his life, something only God can do. So it's little wonder that the gospel tells us that this caused, again, a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He is a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" And others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And if you aren't convinced that Jesus was claiming he was God in this passage we just read, I suggest you go home later and read verse 22 onwards. When Jesus tells the Pharisees, when they ask him plainly whether he is the Christ, that he was exactly claiming that he was not only the Christ, but that he and the Father are one, while continuing with the metaphor of the Good Shepherd throughout, and then they try to stone him for it. Perhaps Jesus should have provided some trigger warnings before he decided to make claims about his divinity. However, you could say that he did, because his reference to himself as the Good Shepherd was clearly, at least to those who would have been listening to him say them, a reference to an extensive prophecy in Ezekiel found in chapter 34 of that eponymous book. Here's a piece. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds." They're speaking of the leaders of Israel, referred to as the shepherds of Israel above what I'm reading. "Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land." There ends Ezekiel. So, if it weren't enough that Jesus was telling folks he was God, he was also telling the Jewish leaders that they would no longer be king of the hill, and that he was bringing into the fold the unclean Gentiles to form one fold with those among the Jews who would listen to his voice. And it's always important to emphasize that many Jews did listen to Jesus' voice. There would have been no church without them. And in fact, the epistle reading for today comes from the second chapter of St. Peter, one of those Jews who followed Jesus. It comes from St. Peter's first epistle, and he draws reference to this passage and reminds us that we must follow Christ as our example and return to the shepherd of our souls rather than be sheep going astray. So, despite this clearly being a monumental passage of unity, a message of the ultimate union, mankind's union, whether Jew or Gentile, whether slave or free, whether man or woman, with Christ Jesus, and thereby with God himself, there is nothing but division. A unity so strong, so radical, that Jesus himself acknowledges that he came not for peace, but with a sword, saying, "Do you think I have come to give peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Who needs to worry about offending your neighbor when Christ tells us when this message will offend our very family?" So what is this message? It's the gospel, the very gospel itself. A message, I said, of a unity so deep and profound that we can barely grasp even when we hear it for the millionth time. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." How? Through the most incredible union wrought by Christ in his passion, death, and resurrection that we celebrate in this season of Easter. How? Through love. Not some silly thing that passes for love in our society, by which we usually mean that someone else does what we want them to. No, by real self-giving, self-sacrificing love, the only kind there really is. The very kind that God gives us, even though he has everything and needs nothing. That is the good news. That's the very good news. And yet it continues to divide us today. Whether we want to argue amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ about some irrelevant nuance of theology, or with our neighbors over its truth, or wrestle with ourselves about whether we are willing to be transformed by it, it continues to divide us. The message is simultaneously a blessing and a judgment, the ultimate union and the ultimate chasm. Which it is up to us. We have a choice to make. Like much of our division today, we are its creators. In this case, the division is not created to foment greater societal or political division for gain, but created by our own minds, bodies, and souls, by our own unwillingness to embrace the truth of what Christ has done for us, our unwillingness to stop being the king of the hill in our own lives, just as the Jewish leaders wanted to continue to have their socio-political power. We want to have what we believe to be power over ourselves. What we tend to do with that power is hurt ourselves, our neighbor, and God. Instead, we have to give ourselves up, every bit of it, to find the unity. Along the way, we will experience great pain and great division. Indeed, if we succeed, we will die to this world. And when we do that, we will be chastised. Those around us will hate us, just as they hated our Lord. But as St. Peter tells us in the related epistle for today, we must bear it patiently, as Christ did. When we are reviled, we shall not revile in return. When we suffer, we shall not threaten. Instead, we should continue to do as St. Peter says, and trust ourselves to him who judges justly, Jesus our Lord. What an upside-down story. How counter to every story ever told by men, that to succeed we have to completely fail in the eyes of all of those around us. Who wrote this story? He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Yes, these are the words of that apparent madman who opened the eyes of the blind, came down from his throne in heaven as a little baby, who was raised by parents just like you and me, preached to those around him the greatest story of goodness, love, and unity the world will ever know, and was murdered by the very people he came to save, only to overcome even death with that goodness and love. And yet, we are still too afraid to completely embrace his words. Somewhere in the back of our mind, I think we still worry that maybe he does have a demon. But when we are honest with ourselves, we know that demons cannot do the things he did. And yet we are resistant to signing up for the life he led, too blind to recognize that to gain our lives, we must lose them, too stubborn to submit ourselves to anyone's authority, much less God's, and yet to realize in our brief moments of true sanity that surrendering to him is to surrender ourselves to goodness and love itself. Submitting ourselves to him is true freedom. So a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. May we do the same. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.